Get me close to the sea, a couple of palm trees and a pineapple, and I'm very happy. First off, what is Shockwave?
We're all fighting very similar, if not the same battle.
Just love to see it go back to a point where you are not bound by how lucrative a treatment is, where you actually get time to treat the patient, treat the person.
Is it that the modality doesn't work, or did they not do anything else?
Shockwave, it's a great tool, it's not a magic wand. Now I'm in a spot where I see people that I would have operated on a while back, and I have a couple of patients that I've been treating conservatively, and we avoided surgery.
This is Maestro on the Mic.
A podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it popping.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey guys, Maestro here, coming at you live with another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I have with me the Dr. David Boland. He's joining me all the way from Germany. I actually met him in Berlin when I was there a few weeks ago. He's going to be one of our newest rock tape instructors over in Germany. He is an orthopedic surgeon, guys, so this is a totally different perspective, but he is bridging the gap, blending modalities, blending treatment paradigms. He gave me a session, actually, for my knee. I posted some stuff about it. I did a short episode about it, about using Shockwave, and so we're definitely going to delve into this. You guys know that I like to let the guest do their intro, but he sent me his bio, and I was like, I'm going to steal one thing out of that and say it. And in that, he wrote, "I still love surgery, but I have a deep appreciation for avoiding it." And this is like music to my ears, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Dr. David Boland.
Hey, Shante. Thanks for having me. Thanks for bringing me on. What can I say? My name's David Boland, born and raised in Berlin, Germany. What do I do? By trade, I'm an orthopedic and trauma surgeon. I actually worked in a university hospital for a couple of years, treating level one trauma cases, everything that comes off the helicopter. But I quickly found out that that's not for me. So I kind of changed that, went a different route, got out of a hospital eventually, and now I'm working in the clinic, mixing up conservative treatments, a little bit of surgery. And like you said, yes, I still do surgery, but there's so much more, so many things that we can do before we actually have to cut people open.
Dave, I'm going to interject real quick. How do you actually pronounce your last name if you were going to say it the German way, I guess, or whatever?
Actually, it's Boland.
Oh, I like that. You guys listening, you know that I have a thing for accents. And so when I first met David, I was expecting some very significant German accent because I met him also in the context of Ali, our other, you know, our German counterpart for Rock Tape. And Ali has a pretty significant accent. And then David started talking and I was like, are you from California? Because you guys can't see him, but he has like long blonde hair. He looks very, very Californian. So I think you should say your name like that from now on. All right, David?
Okay. So it's David Boland.
I can't say that. I love it. I can't say that. So going back to what you had said, you were working in the hospital and such and things like that. What was it, in terms of switching to the clinic, was it that you weren't kind of feeling the cases or the time constraints or
well,
why the switch?
It's a little bit of everything. Life kind of got in the way somewhere. But I want to start out a little further back. Why did I ever get into medicine? You probably heard this story a million times. I was an athlete growing up. I actually started playing football when I was 13 years old, American football, that is. And throughout the 15 years of playing, I, at some stage, tore my ACL. Never had reconstructive surgery, but had a good physio take care of me. And I kind of got an interest sparked into how to rehab people, how to take care of that, and what the other route would have been. So that got me into that. Working in the hospital was just for me the logical step after college, after med school. And that's how I started out. Over the next couple of years, it takes just for my schooling, I had to stay for years and years. And during that time, I met my wife, got married, had our first child, and that really didn't add up with the hospital hours. So yeah, that was one of the reasons why I got out of there. So at some stage, the hours just didn't add up. When we decided to have kids, I wasn't going to be the dad that's never there. I wanted to be around. Well, that is not working out 100%, but still, it's a lot better than being in the hospital for 24 hours and weekends and nights. So yeah, this is where I'm at now.
Ah, that makes sense. That makes sense. What about the side of it in terms of, I mean, I can't speak to the German healthcare system, things like that, but I mean, I know I see a lot in the United States, this surgery that's prescribed when it isn't needed. Was that something you
Well, one of the problems in the hospital is that you really meet the patient maybe a day before the surgery. So all the diagnostics or most of the diagnostics have been run by somebody else. And I ended up where I was in a situation where I would see patients indicate the operations and then do them. But I was still wondering if everybody that I saw really needed what we're doing. It's not that we operated on anybody that didn't need surgery. From my standpoint then, I think we did everything right. But right now I'm in a spot where I see people that I would have operated on a while back. They're fine without total hips, total knees. So that's something I did a whole lot of. And I have a couple of patients that I've been treating conservatively with all my tools, my toys, my modalities, and we avoided surgery.
I love it. Why don't you talk about the tools, the toys, and modalities? I mean, I got to experience some of that firsthand, but what does this session look like with you now?
Well, that's where we get into the German healthcare system, and I know we only have so much time, so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on that. Typically, I see a patient, I try to assess them as good as I can. I'm not trying to use the microscope on the pain they're explaining to me, but I try to focus on, well, why is this person in pain? What do they do occupationally? Are they active? Since when's the pain? Where's that pain? Does it fit into, I don't know, fascial lines? Does it fit into postural problems? So this is what I'm looking at now. So ever since I got into the clinic, I've become more interested in educating people and helping them prepare for their ongoing life, even with knee pain or hip pain. And the tools that we played around with were one of the things I love for assessment or for examination is images, is ultrasound, because that to me is a great way of getting real-time pictures, getting something that really helps me find out if there's an inflammation, if it's something of an overuse injury, if that's something I need to treat. Yes, MRIs are great and I love x-rays, but this is a tool that I have in my hand that I can use on a joint and move it. So that gives me a great deal of evidence about what I need to do and what we need to change. One of the things we use in the clinic I'm working at a whole lot is shockwave therapy. That's an absolute favorite of mine. And it's actually cool that you came over here to the Fascial Research Congress, because the very first picture that you had in one of your stories was about a guy, a German guy who's been treating muscular skeletal problems, trigger points, for over 20 years using shockwave therapy. And that's exactly what we're doing. We're treating overuse injuries. We're treating insertional pain, chronic tendonitis, elbow, tennis elbows, shin splints, runner's knee, plantar fasciitis. All of these problems can be treated with shockwave therapy. And it's not purely about me doing something to the patient, having him just lay down and get treated, mm-hmm. get fixed up. But all of these treatments are always just part of what he needs to do, what he needs to change.
I love that, that it's not just about the passive side. I mean, we have to treat pain in some way, shape, or form. You know, people are kind of like, they let the pendulum swing too far always, and then they're like just crapping all over passive modalities, but they absolutely have their place. For you guys listening, like David said, I was at the FRC, and the guy he's talking about is Dr. Wolfgang. I'm probably going to butcher his name, but it's something like Bauermeister.
That's pretty good, actually.
It was really long. It had a lot of vowels in his name. And he actually, we were in an elastography session, and Dr. Wolfgang uses elastography to measure the elastic properties of the tissue, and then from that kind of pinpoints what you may call trigger points, kind of like neurogenic inflammation points, whatever you guys want to call it, and then is using shockwave to treat it. So it was really cool because David then hit me up afterwards and was just like, I've been looking for research on this because anecdotally, you know, I've been using it in clinic and I get great results, and which is one of the reasons I wanted to bring him on, because you see these modalities used and oftentimes the literature is lagging and just kind of not there. But it's nice to hear it from the horse's mouth, both from the provider and the recipient or the patient. I was kind of like what they're experiencing. So I went in and got it. And that's also why I'm bringing him on now, just to talk about that. Can you talk to us, my dude, a little bit or a lot of it, if you want, about shockwave? Like, I mean, yeah. I have my take from my cursory experience, but I'd love to hear more. Learn me.
Well, first off, let what is shockwave? Shockwave is it's acoustic waves that have a pretty high energy peak. The first one that we used on you is what's called radial shockwave. It's essentially a steel ball in an aluminum tube that's propelled with air pressure onto a small transponder, and that propels these acoustic waves into the tissue. That's something that just radiates out into whatever tissue we have underneath. And what we do with that is we not only aggravate the tissue. Mm-hmm. Of course, well, muscles are going to react to it. So we get muscles to release. That's the trigger point idea of Dr. Bauermeister. But also, it's not only a treatment for right now, but it's something, the process that we're sparking there is something that will have a longer lasting effect. So we're creating, or we're helping new blood vessel formation. We're trying to stimulate collagen production. We're helping mm-hmm. All kinds of inflammatory mediators to be dispersed to help them, just essentially the body go through that inflammation faster than it usually would. I always tell my patients, it's not a cortisone shot. I'm not trying to push down that inflammation. What I'm doing is I'm modulating the reaction of your body. So if you have a knee pain, that's because some tendon is inflamed. There is an overuse to it. What I do is I get these pro-inflammatories to just quickly get out of out of the cells into your mm-hmm. system. So we might have actually more pain and redness, swelling just initially, but over the course of time, and time means hours and days, it's supposed to subside.
Gotcha.
So that's essentially what that was. It is a pretty intense treatment, so it was not for everybody. The closer I get to the periosteus, to the bone, the more mm-hmm. painful it's gonna be.
For sure.
You felt that if I'm just in your quads, when I'm just hitting the muscles, yes, you feel there's a little it's being aggravated, but it's not painful.
Yeah, once it's totally tolerable. Totally.
Once I get to these inflamed areas, well, it's painful. Now, speaking about painful, I know you're not into aggressive tactics. That's what I've grown to like as well. We don't have to hurt the patients. But if it's a bearable, tolerable pain, that's fine by me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally. And what about the second one? Because that was a really different experience than the first shockwave that we did.
Now my physics background comes into play, which I'm lacking a lot of. So the second one is called the Focused. It's a piezoelectric shockwave, which means essentially that a current is run over a number of crystals, creating that same acoustic wave, except for the fact that it's focused depending on what kind of a silicone pad you have in front of your transductor. So that's something that will result in a much more or much smaller but focused area. So what it feels like is more of a tingling, more. If I'm on a muscle that isn't inflamed, it's really hard to describe. But once I hit that spot, you're gonna feel what I'm talking about. So that's something. For sure. It's a pain for me. It's hard to describe. I just had it done today because I was out lifting a little bit and maybe I overdid it. So I had somebody at my clinic help me out with that on my lower back. So yeah, it's essentially it's not a massage session. You're gonna feel that I'm doing something, but it just helps the tissue metabolism just speed up so much more.
It was definitely a cool experience, you guys, and he hit the nail on the head. It's really difficult to describe the sensation unless you've had it done, which is why when he offered to do it, I was like, yes. My knee's been bugging anyway, and I was like, yes, please, let's do this. The first one, it definitely has a very mechanical feel to it. It's like he said, it's like a ball inside this chamber, and it's like, you know, thwack, thwack, thwack. You can hear it. There's definitely a mechanical side to it. The second one, even the sound is different. It sounds kind of like the clicking of like a sonar. It's higher pitched.
More of a cracking, yes. High-pitched cracking noise.
Yeah. So it's definitely different. And you feel it, at least when he did it for me, it was over my knee. And I was like, I can feel this in my bone. It was the trippiest experience. And like you said, it's not a comfortable sensation, but for me, yes, and I think David and I share this, I am not an aggressive therapist, but being the recipient and being on the other side of it, sometimes you just feel like there's a time and a place for it. And like you said, if they can tolerate it, I don't want that person that's coming in and is like, take this gua sha tool or take this, you know, iStim tool and just wreck me with it. Very different than something like this. Like, if you guys are at all thinking about it, wondering about it, definitely go and try it out firsthand. What I would like for you to speak about, David, is in terms of duration, like how many sessions, like what?
Yeah, I knew that question was going to come up. Yeah. And I tried to look through literature, just the recent stuff. And I was actually surprised because I found a new study that's talking about chronic biceps tendinopathy. And what they were saying is that they would go in for something like 3 to 6 sessions over the course of 2 to 3 weeks, meaning that actually twice a week you would go. Usually what I do is I do 1 to 2 sessions a week, depending on what part of your body hurts, what I'm trying to do. Because like you said, yes, that second one is actually, it feels that it's going much deeper. And I've had people with activated osteoarthritis of their knees or their ankles, where I would try and get to that bone bruise, to that edema, and treat it with that. That, of course, is completely different than a sprained ankle or a tennis elbow. So, yeah, it depends on the cases. And I also like to take into account how long has this person had a problem. Shockwave therapy in sports medicine is something that is used for rehab as well as prehab nowadays. So if you have sore muscles, I know that in Germany, first league soccer, a whole bunch of teams are using it to relieve their players of grade 1A, 1B muscle soreness, or actually, well, lesions. I'm not talking about a torn muscle. I'm not talking about snapped fibers, but I'm talking about you had a really tough week of practice, of workouts, whatnot, and you go in and have that treatment, it will help with regeneration a lot. So
I love it.
If I have my typical patients with the plantar fasciitis, yes, I'm going to treat the heel spur. I hate that word because it's only something that we find on an x-ray. We're treating the plantar fascia. We're treating the Achilles tendon. We're going all up in that calf because that's the fascial line that we need to address. Something we'll probably go for once a week. Also, financial things come into play because general insurance in Germany does not cover shockwave therapy. So I have to take into account that the patient is going to pay for that themselves. And there's patients that want that. They're trying to get it, but they're not going to get more than 3-4 sessions because it's just too expensive for them at some stage.
Totally. No, that makes sense. You guys listening, David just gave the perfect answer, and I knew he would because, well, we've already talked when I went and saw him. But in terms, because the question that people are going to ask is, well, how long does it take? And as always, it depends. And one of the things that I loved that David said is that he's not trying this for like a million weeks on end and just having this person scream and just be like, oh, keep trying it, which is one of the things that I have heard, at least in the States, that gave shockwave a bad rap. Because the first time I heard of this, I was actually still in the clinic and I was a pretty recent grad, and someone was trying to use it. They had been trying to use it for plantar fasciitis and they hadn't gotten better. But, you know, the knee-jerk reaction is to shit on the modality instead of to say, okay, well, is it that the modality doesn't work, or did they not do anything else? Was the provider not giving them anything else? Was it just, we're going to do shockwave and that's it? Because then, yeah, perhaps it didn't work because, you know, the rest of the problem wasn't being addressed. So, you know, David had said that. I love that he brought in some literature there too. And is this kind of like, yeah, we also have to look at everything that's going on and consider how long it's been going on and then treat the other things, which is, you know, something I don't see a lot of other providers necessarily doing. Speaking of, good segue there. What else does, and I'll probably come back to the shockwave just because it was really, really cool. But what else does a treatment with you kind of entail? I know you're kind of getting into Rock Tape and stuff, so.
Well, yeah. Well, with the Rock Tape is, since I have a background in football, I've gotten my ankle taped for 20 years. 20 years ago was the first time that somebody taped my ankle. So I had a pretty good understanding of athletic tape and using it for different reasons. So when I was still working in the hospital, I came across that colored kinesiology tape, and I'm kind of a geek for new stuff, for toys, for gadgets. So I had to get into that. And like a lot of people I've met over the course of the last year is first K-tape kinesiology taping course was purely insertion and what color am I taking for what muscle and origin insertion, that type of thing. And 20 minutes into that course, I was like, excuse me, you're telling me how to tape a shoulder, but I, just off the top of my head, there's 25 different problems I want to take care of in the shoulder. Are you telling me that the blue tape that's coming from the shoulder down to the elbow and the red one coming from the elbow up to the shoulder is going to fix all of that? I'm trying to make this sound cool here, but I didn't have the guts to walk out of that. So that's the first one. Second one was a little better, but still nothing, and not my thing. So got into CrossFit a couple of years back. CrossFit without Rock Tape. Well, you're gonna see somebody who's taped up, and I started to ask around, started to look into it, and decided I needed to see for myself. Walked into a class, 20 minutes into that class, I was like, okay, there's more people here that think like me. So it's not getting you stronger. It's not turning on muscles, turning off muscles, but it's something where there's more to it. And that's how I got into the whole Rock Tape thing. Something else I did, and what I'm also certified in, is manual therapy. I just got my basic certificate in fascial distortion model, FDM, something that I started a couple of years back because I want to have as many tools available as possible. Am I going to use everything they teach in these classes? No. Am I going to pick something out of it and use it on my patient? Yes, sure. Why not? I mean, what I like to see, and one thing that I kind of stole from you is collaboration, not competition. I want to learn from people. If I'm going into classes, if I'm going into courses, and I'm talking about courses where there's PTs, where there's chiros, osteos, and doctors, I'm going to take something from everybody. I want to pick everybody's brain and just steal something that I can use for my day to day for my patients, because at the end of the day, my patient doesn't care what technique I used or how I tapped into his system to make him feel safer and get better. He just wants to get better.
Yes. Thank you. I think providers forget that, man. Until you flip the script and you put yourself, I love that you said earlier that you know, have gotten some shockwave done today. Until you flip the script and you're the one in the patient seat and you have pain or whatever, it's hard to remember. Like, you don't care about other stuff. You're like, just make me feel better. So speaking of, are there other people in your practice that are different kinds of providers?
Well, the doctor that owns the clinic, she founded the whole concept. She's the one that came up with just such an extensive use of shockwave, at least in my little universe. She's also doing acupuncture. She's doing manual therapy as well. She's a certified foot surgeon. So that's the course that we're taking. She has yet to be introduced to the extensive universe of rock tape. But yeah, she knows what I'm doing. She knows how I view things. And she's pretty much on board with everything that we do, because we don't want to be just two practitioners sharing office space. We got concepts that we're working together.
That makes total sense. How do people find you in terms of is it not a referral model, because you are the ortho, you're the doctor, but how are patients finding you guys?
Well, there is obviously a lot of word of mouth. Other than that, we are located in just the dead center of the city. So you can probably walk 100 feet without falling into the next orthopedics clinic. There is a German network that is rating doctors of all kinds, so that you're looking up for an orthopedist in Berlin, all kinds of doctors are going to come up. They're going to be rated on pretty much the school grade type thing. That's how people find us.
Interesting.
We have a website that's up, but basically we're not looking to have thousands of people come in.
Yeah.
Because I want to, in the general insurance model, it's tough, but I want to make time for patients, because I know I have colleagues that have 3.5-4 minutes per patient. I have a full 10. Yes, let that sink in. where I'm trying to get a lot in. So time is always a problem in general insurance. So yes, I will not be able to do a full FMS in assessment on your first day and fix everything that I find. So yeah.
Do you guys take cash, or is it primarily going through? I know this is a little bit different than ours here, but you guys do cash, or is it primarily?
It is different. There is a cash-based model, or the private insurance model is where we bill the patient. And if he decides to try and get reimbursed for a treatment, he has to do that, or he just pays up front. But in Germany, generally, everybody has the right to health insurance, is covered, but just not every treatment. So
okay.
Basics are covered for, the rest you have to take care of for yourself.
Now, you have a pretty different model than other practitioners. How is that with buy-in from the people? Like, do people come in knowing that you're going to provide something different, or they come in and they're like, whoa, I wasn't expecting this? And can you speak about that?
Well, first of all, I can adapt to my patients. If I have somebody who comes in and tells me they've been getting that cortisone shot for their shoulder for the last 12 years, it's going to be tough in the with the time constraints, telling them that, well, that cortisone shot that your insurance company is going to pay for is actually not going to help you. But what I can do for you is tape you up, shockwave you, tell you a ton of exercises that you need to do. And while we're at it, you need a lifestyle change. You need to get off of that desk job and find something else. I'm very ideologic, but I'm not trying to give life coaching where it's not asked for. So yeah, I have people that, or a lot of my patients, I've been in this place for 3 years now. By now I have people that are asking for the treatment that I'm offering. But yes, I have people coming off the street that are just, they're in pain. They want to be helped. They're asking for a shot. I'll see what I can do. I'm trying to get people to buy into it. But of course, not everybody's ready for that.
Yeah, no, that's the reality. I love that you said that. Like, it's very nice to be idealistic about stuff and be like, yeah, you know, this is how I would do it. But we also have to realize that we're treating actual humans, and like exactly what you said, you got to meet them where they're at. And if they're ready for it, amazing. If they're not, then you give them what they need, package them what they want, and hopefully you can push the needle forward a little bit and kind of make some change. Do you use tools, David? Like, you know, are rock blades or anything?
I do, but it's a matter of here and there. So if I have patients through sports, I do get a lot of referrals out of the functional fitness world. These are usually people that are more apt to be introduced to cupping, to flossing, to tools such as I'm a big fan of that Mohawk, because you can just tap into everything and you have one tool that does it all. And my favorite little tool of the last couple of months, since I love the Shockwave, I love the little step cousin, the Hypervolt. So that's
right.
I have that. I have a ton of people that are interested in that. It's not shockwave therapy for you at home, but it's something that will get a little bit of vibration into your body and help you with a lot of things. So yes, I do use tools. I do use all these things, but like I said, if it's not an acute injury, if it's something that I see that is something out of the repetitive strain area, I will try and get you to do a lot yourself. You're getting homework. Yeah. If you're coming to my place, be sure or be prepared that, yes, you will have to work for that.
This is all the good stuff. Kind of tying back into the Shockwave, because, yeah, I'm a little bit obsessed with it, and just because I hadn't had it before, and I'm not going to lie, like, my experience in hearing about it was, you know, I was a young therapist, and you kind of just write stuff off, and you're like, there's no science, and just, you know, I was that person at one point in time. And so now to have it done, and by someone that I trust. That was a big thing. I was like, I trust David, and let's go and do this. If someone is interested in getting Shockwave, and or that maybe perhaps their provider is like suggesting it, what are some things that they should be either looking for or that they should be wanting to avoid? Is this like, you know, imagine if I like I was when I was first there, how would you explain this? Like, okay, this is what it should feel like. This is what, you know, X, well, Y, and Z to them.
That goes back to the whole process. Shockwave, it's a great tool. It's not a magic wand. I like throwing it around for a lot of issues, but we're gonna have to look at you. There is a few things where we can't use it. There's a few problems that we can cause with it. So the contraindications you have to take care of. If somebody's interested, I have no idea how common shockwave therapy, especially in the hands of doctors, is in the US. I know that over here in Europe, it's a tool that the first one, the radial one, is getting more and more used by physiotherapists. The focused one, that's a doctor's tool. That's something that's not to be thrown around too much. So what do you look for? It's the same thing you always look for. If you're finding a provider, you're probably going to run into a few people that, well, they either are talking your language, so you either connect or you don't. I've had people where I know that Shockwave would help them. Money wasn't the issue, but it's just, they're not ready for it. Much like you said, when you were the young therapist who had one bad experience, it's going to take years to get you back. So I'm a little bit of a shockwave missionary over here, trying to get people to understand that. And again, we can use it. I have patients coming in with a completely different problem. And they're like, are you going to use that machine again? I'm like, yeah, sorry. It's good for that as well. So people have to be open-minded. Yes, if I'm suggesting it for the first time, I take time to explain what it does, what the setbacks are. Yes, it's something that is tolerable, but it's not a nice experience, or it can be painful. There's people that get these swellings. There's people that get, same as with every tool, you have people that have just a massive reaction, swelling, redness, and just also people that just can't take these little hits. So I've had people where we try shockwave, and after just a few hundred strokes, few hundred impulses, we decide, nope, not going to do it. Yeah. It's not going to work for you.
I love how you explain this and what you're saying, mainly because the stories that we do here are basically horror stories. And it'd be the same as any other modality, that if you had the provider that's just like not listening to that person's nervous system and is just, you know, got tunnel vision of, we're going to use this on you, I don't care that you're screaming and passing out. Like, that's not the way to do this. So you guys listening, if there's something you're interested in, if you're a patient, whatever, one, you should have a provider that's willing to take the time to use this as part of a comprehensive treatment, that's willing to explain things to you, you know, how it works and what the potential side effects may be, or the potential negative effects. Because I don't think that we necessarily do enough of that at times, just to be like, hey, this can happen, just so you know. But also just that provider is paying attention to you, and you're not just like, yes, you need this, we're going to do this, I know that you're on the table dying, but we're still going to do this anyway. Is there benefit, David? I'm guessing you're going to say yes. There's benefit to kind of easing someone into this. Like, if you know it's going to work, but I mean, this, I'm imagining if I had acute plantar fasciitis, which I've had once in my life, I know for a fact I couldn't tolerate that, the first one, the radial one, is that what you said the name is?
Yeah.
Well, I know that I couldn't tolerate that. Can you do like lower, things like that?
Yes, you can ease people into it. They come with dials, so yes, you can.
You
can increase the pressure. You can just, especially with the first one. I have this little. It looks like sort of an air gun, so that I'm pushing into the tissue, so I can I can ease it into. I've had one of the providers that helps me actually work my hand. I tried catching a ball, kind of twist my finger, the capsule of my second finger of that one of the joints was just feeling really bad, and I was like, well, I'm prescribing shockwave to everybody, so why not try it yourself?
And my own medicine.
Just the idea of having all these impulses on your index finger was something that wasn't appealing. But if you have somebody who knows how to use that tool, and who knows that they don't have to push it into that tissue, but just barely connected, because that's enough. You have that. You have a gel, kind of like that ultrasound gel, to make a connection to the tissue. And if you just barely slide it over, a joint capsule of your finger is going to work with the shockwave as well. If I can do that, I can treat your acute plantar fasciitis.
Love it.
So yeah, it's again, it's a matter of toning down, of seeing how your nervous system reacts. If it's too much, guess what? We're just not going to do it.
I love it. Thank you. That's what,
hey,
as much as I'm a, you know, proponent for modalities, I felt it would be hypocritical of me to continue to write shockwave off when I never actually experienced it firsthand, or first knee, if you will. And so it was really cool to have you to go through that. It allowed me to be in the patient side of things and see that, you know, as much as I preach that, you know, I don't like to have painful interventions, but sometimes when you're the patient and it hurts in a kind of therapeutic way, or you feel it, it just makes you believe, like, this is working, which there's something very valuable in that too. So I don't think it should be the mainstay of like, I'm trying to kill you. But there was definitely for me, given what I was going through symptomatically at my knee, and I, to go through, especially the second one, because I was like, I feel like that's touching the area inside of my knee where the thing is, which is, you know, that's huge for a patient too. So there's lots of components to that.
I think there's just a ton of people that if you have an inflamed joint, if you have a muscle that's just sore, you're going to be constant, or at least I'm that way. My thumb's constantly rubbing that spot, trying to find where it is, trying to relieve it. And in a way, every time you hit that spot, you're like, yep, it's still there, but maybe I can do something to make it better. And that's where I think the shockwave pain becomes bearable, because you feel, yes, they're right in that spot. And that's where that's where I think a lot of the techniques, the tools and whatnot, what all we have, yes, we know we're tapping into the nervous system. Yes, we know it. Somewhere along the time, the line, it's going to help the patient. But the patient sometimes wants to feel some some feedback, something that, yes, you're at that spot. Do. Yes, something's happening.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And it did it. I was just like, wow, there, that is touching it. And it was, I you've hit the nail on the head. You can't really explain it unless you've had it. But I love all the other things that you said around it, where it's not just like there shouldn't be some super unbearable treatment that's used by itself without really a thorough assessment and without any kind of follow-up or, you know, true treatment of perhaps what caused the issue. Like, yeah, we can use it to treat the symptom here, but what caused it? If it's some, you know, overuse or misuse injury, like we have to make sure that we're correcting that stuff, which is why I love you have this you know, comprehensive approach to treatment. Where do you see, or perhaps where would you like to see the profession going? What's your dream? What's your view?
Well,
vision?
That's really hard to speak on, because see, I came up in this system, or being schooled just within or at the exact time when in Germany trauma and ortho were put together. Well, of course, they overlap in certain aspects, but a trauma surgeon never heard about braces, never heard about, never needed to, because, well, braces, orthotics, whatever else you have. So conservative orthopedics is really on the decline, or is really being left out, because we are at a time where surgery is so much more lucrative than spending an hour time treating a patient with my hands. How is my insurance company going to understand what I do if I'm telling them about, I don't know, fascial work?
Fascial work.
There's
not
even. I don't have an ICD 10 code for a fascial distortion. So that's one of the problems. I just love to see it go back to a point where, you are not bound by how lucrative a treatment is, where you actually get time to treat the patient, treat the person. So I don't know how the system's going to go. All I know is how I'm trying to find my way in that, and that's probably not forever in an insurance based environment. So I never wanted to be one of those doctors that you would need to be able to afford to go see. On the other hand, see, it's not about being greedy and wanting that big apartment overlooking the harbor.
It's so nice, though.
No, but on the other hand, I don't want to work for free. I spent a ton of time learning new things, getting better at certain things, and just getting ahead, getting certified in all kinds of things. Of course, that's going to help my patient, but why shouldn't it help me? So what I want to do is I want to stress more on educating people, reaching more people. And one way of doing that is starting to teach for Rock Tape. So that's a way of getting just that knowledge out there and that system out there, just that there's more to it than finding a microscopic view of one muscle hurting, one joint being unstable. So start looking at the whole patient, start looking at fascial lines, start looking at movement and take it from there.
Dude, you guys, I've been on this traveling kick, clearly. It's done now. But one of the things that's been really important to me is to speak with providers from each of these places that I go to so that you guys can hear we're all fighting very similar, if not the same battle. We have such overlapping and similar goals. I say it all the time and say it in the intro to the podcast, you know, movement unites us all. It's all connected. And to hear David echoing these same sentiments that I know many of you out there feel the same way, and that he's coming from a different starting point. You know, I thought that was so cool to me that he's an orthopedic surgeon, and to be like, hey, yeah, this is, you know, we're all fighting the same fight. So it was hugely important for me to bring him on and share that part of things. David, if people, because I know they're going to want to, if they want to reach out to you, they want to follow you, they want to connect with you because this is awesome, how can they do that?
Well, Instagram is always a favorite. So I actually started a new handle just a little while back that's still kicking off. I'm ramping on my social media game here. it's very easy. It's the Funk Doc. A C in the funk, a C in the doc. That's me. Follow me there. I'll start dropping more things there just to get people out or just to get things to people. Other than that, you'll find me under my real name on that other social network, Facebook. But that's mostly family pictures and me traveling, doing fun stuff. So professionally, it's going to be Instagram. And we'll see where the next year takes us.
Yes, I'm excited. Real quick about the Instagram. First of all, like you said, guys, it's the Funk Doc. I will link that. But you seem to have a big tie or connection to like Hawaii kind of tribal stuff. What mm-hmm. is there something there or am I reading into that?
No, it's growing up in a concrete city. Berlin is the islands or islands always was something that was sort of a paradise for me. And it took me forever. But last summer, my wife actually made it possible for me to go to Hawaii. I don't think I've ever been happier. So, yeah, that's a big thing. Get me close to waves. Get me close to the sea. A couple of palm trees and a pineapple. And I'm very happy. So, yeah. Waves you're going to see on my page every once in a while.
I love it, man. It just makes you so real. I wasn't sure. I was like, I think this guy likes that stuff. I don't know. But that's one of the things I want when I do these podcasts is to show people that the people that we're talking to are real humans. And especially you coming as a surgeon. I think there's a very, like, there's just like a barrier where I don't know if it's because most surgeons are like really old white guys or what, but it's like this kind of not untouchable demographic, but there's always like a wall. And so here to have this guy who, like you said, just wants a pineapple and some pine trees, some palm trees. I love that, David. That's cool stuff. So my typical question, and you don't have to say anything, is when I wrap this up, because I'm looking at the timestamp here, is there anything you'd like to leave the people with? You left them with a ton already, but is there anything you like to leave the people with?
Well, actually, all I can say is keep an open mind, get out there, find whatever practitioners are there, whatever modalities are there, get your own picture, and basically keep growing. That's what it's all about.
My man. He is going to be teaching rock tape courses starting next year. I mean, it's already December. So starting, you know, when in next year you're going to teach?
First, FMT 1 and 2 are going to be in Berlin in February. I think it's February 2nd and 3rd. 2 weeks later is going to be Blades. We're starting out Blades 1 and 2. And throughout the year, there's going to be a couple you can find on the German rock tape site.
Awesome. I will link that. One of the coolest things about Rock Tape, you guys, you know, I teach with them. I love them. One of the coolest things about them as a company is that they allow each instructor to put their spin on the course and bring their own flavor to it. So we have to deliver these, you know, core concepts, but we have quite a bit of wiggle room as to how we tell the story. So I know for me personally, it would be amazing to go to a course like this and have it be delivered by someone with David's background and, you know, just general personality, but I think it would be, you know, hugely, hugely beneficial and just make for a really dope course. So if you're interested in a course, I will link that in the show notes. If you're interested in connecting with him, I will link that also in the show notes. That's the Funk Doc. That's all your best bet of getting in touch with him. And like he said, never stop learning, man. Keep growing. Keep growing. David, thank you. This was everything and then some. I knew it was going to be good, but thank you.
Hey, thank you for having me. Means the world to me to be on this.
Appreciate you, dude. 100% my pleasure. You guys out there listening, I know you could have been doing anything and you chose to listen to us. And we are, as always, endlessly grateful. Until next time, my friends, Dr. David Boland and Maestro,